Dave Poulin, our TSN Hockey Insider. We found Dave and find Dave in Chicago today. As always, a presentation of the Myers Automotive Group. Dave, good morning. First of all, you're down there. I believe you have a daughter that lives in Chicago. U.S. Thanksgiving, a little turkey in your day yesterday.
I actually have two daughters that live here, so it was a nice little family getaway. One of my twins and my youngest daughter both reside in Chicago. So, and I lived here prior to moving back to Toronto when I was in private industry out of the hockey world. I lived in Chicago, so literally two blocks from where I'm sitting right now. So it's nice to get back.
Nice, nice. And a nice U.S. Thanksgiving Day yesterday?
Yeah, very nice. You know, Thanksgiving is a unique holiday, having spent so many, 30-plus years in the States. It's my favorite holiday by far. It involves more people than any other single holiday because it's non-denominational. And it's inclusive, and it kicks off the holiday season. And so for every reason, I mean, from there being football all day to it being on a Thursday to it being, and guys, I was involved at university. Forget the four-day thing. It's like a seven-day thing. Like, no one's going to class Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday. No teachers are holding class. And so it is the most celebratory time of the year in the States for many. And because it kicks off the festiveness of the holiday season as well. But it's not festive right now for the Ottawa Senators. I mean, clearly it's not festive.
No.
They're down here. They want to celebrate Thanksgiving. They would have had a nice meal yesterday and connected, you know, as a team. But it's really tough right now, guys. And the amazing thing about sports, you're not allowed to stop. You can't stop doing what you're doing. And, you know, there's a schedule, and you have to play it. And no matter what's up next, you have to face it. And as strong as many components were against Vegas, it feels like if something goes with this team, it goes. And if it can happen, it can happen. And, you know, the goaltending has been okay lately, I would say. I didn't like the Carlson goal. I just, you know, you need a save at that point. You need someone to win a game for you and maybe in an unconventional manner. And you need some of these guys to go to places where they haven't quite been. Like, we haven't seen the best of Drake Batherson, but we really don't even know what Drake Batherson is yet. Like, how good he can be. And is going through a time like this going to drag something inordinate about someone? And I think of when I went to a different level as a player, guys, it was offensively. And it was playing for the year in Sweden between playing in college and the NHL. And my coach said, you have to be the leading goal scorer in the league. And I said, I've never led a league in goal scoring in my life. And he said, but you have to here. You're the import. And it made me find something that I didn't even know I had. And so these players right now have to be looking to dig deeper than maybe they think they've had. It's not good enough just to be good because they've been okay. You know, in many respects, you look at them and say, okay, well, Brady's having a good year. Well, Brady might have to do something unconventional today that gets him to a different level of something he hasn't done before for this team to win a hockey game right now. Mm.
You've worn many hats in your lifetime of hockey, from a player to head coach at Notre Dame to scout to you're in management with the Maple Leafs. From your management days, and Pierre Dorion as little as 2 weeks ago professed his loyalty to DJ Smith. But since then, there have been a lot more losses than wins, and the loyalty gets tested. And eventually, I think the loyalty in any business runs out if the results don't follow. Can you take us through, from a management point of view, the discussions that take place and, you know, sort of transport yourself into probably the discussions that are happening here in Ottawa from your experience before? Like, when do the discussions start to begin of, maybe we need to look at this to ultimately, if the decision is made, when that decision is made? And I'm talking about changing the coach, potentially.
Well, I think the discussion goes on in your own head before it goes on as a group. And that would be with Pierre Dorion, with Ryan Bonus, with their management group. And then they start having with you. And the simple question, guys, and it's not, I mean, it's the reality of pro sports. Is this the right coach for this team right now? And because clearly you thought it was in the summer and going in. So what has changed from that point? And is what has changed in the coach's control? And so you would say, okay, well, you know, we've lost some players to injury. We haven't played with full lineups. And, you know, you look at Buffalo, and I did their game on, I lose track of time now, on Tuesday night in Montreal. and they come out flying. They lost eight in a row, and they come out flying and stomp Montreal, and then they go on to win the next night. Well, and then I learned that, you know, through my prep, that they hadn't had their defensive core in place since the third game of the season, their top 4D. And so what kind of factor was that? And so you look at the Sens, what has changed from the start of the year? Who has not been there? Well, Josh Norris, we know, has not been there. And through, you know, various points, you've lost other players at key times. And is that on the coach? You would say, well, the coach has to do more. And he does. Just like I said, the player has to do more. The coach has to do more. But the components of this team haven't all clicked on the same night. I think early in the year, we'd all agree the goaltending was really good. Forsberg was really good. Talbot came back, and we thought, okay, it's going to be better because now you have an option and you can flip them. And quite frankly, they haven't found a groove together yet. You haven't had the defense back together. Zub comes back, Shabbat goes out. It's like, okay, well, I want to see, you know, a 20-game Jake Sanderson play with a healthy Thomas Shabbat, play with a healthy Artem Zub. And then the final pieces, it looked like Bernard Docker was going to settle in, and now he's out. And so Lassie Thompson comes in. So you evaluate that as a manager and say, you know, is this still the right coach for this hockey team? We felt it was in the summer. What has changed? Is it still the right coach? And you may get to a point, and we did as a staff with Ron Wilson in Toronto, and I was with the team at the time, and the decision was just made, we're going to move forward. We have someone else that we think it can do a better job with this team, and that's when Berkey chose to bring Randy Carlyle in. But that person has to be in place as well. And so there's more moving parts than just saying, okay, you know, we're going to make a change. I don't like in-season changes. I've never liked them. I think it lets the players off the hook too much. And yet, you know, if you feel like you're going to make a change, then that's going to happen. But that's up to Pierre Dorion. He's in that seat for a reason. He has that, you know, that's the charge he has to determine in his mind if this is the right coach for this team right now. And then the team can change that by going out and collectively as a group playing better. They've played good in pieces. They haven't played complete through 60 minutes as a team very often.
Coaches and management in hockey organizations in general, every training camp by the end, said, you know what, in the end, players cut themselves. You know, you get to the point where the decision isn't that difficult. That's how most camps play out. Now, salary cap aside, but obviously my analogy is going to come back to coaching here. Dave, isn't the number one thing, if you're in management, the first question you ask yourself and then your group about your coach is, has this coach lost our guys? Do they still believe in this coach? Do they still like this coach? And I honestly, with DJ, I think the answer is no. I don't think he has lost the players, and I still think they do like him. So does that make the decision more difficult? Because then you get to, listen, it is about results. You got to win more. I don't care at the end of the day. You know, you don't want to be the most well-liked guy. We need you to produce results. But does the first part of it make it more difficult to arrive at the point to let somebody go?
Yes, it does, Steve. And I think that's an excellent separation of those two points. The first part, I don't believe that DJ Smith has lost his team. I really don't. I think they compete hard. They play hard. You know, when you're watching, and it might only be five players or six players that you're watching intently to say, okay, and I don't think that's the case with any players on Ottawa. The second part is a separator for me. You don't have to like your coach, and everybody, in fact, shouldn't like their coach, because if there's 20 personalities in that room, there should be someone who he's rubbing the wrong way. There just flat out should be. And like is a term that, you know, maybe is used today more than it was. We didn't get an option to like Mike Keenan. Like, do you think we went around the room and voted? Because it might not have gone well for him on a given day. And yet we won as a group, and we knew, had a fascinating round of golf at, it would have been Rick Tocchet's wedding. And we were out west, and we played golf, and it was, And actually, you know, management guys are in the room right now. It was Murray Craven, who ended up being the senior manager in Vegas. It was Craig Berube, who's a head coach in the NHL, and Scott Mellenby, who has been a manager. And the conversation was about Mike Keenan. And it was, guys, it was probably an hour and a half of our 4-hour round. And, you know, and because the levels of, and this was all post-career, so the levels of the word like versus what he had squeezed out of the group were totally different. I mean, and that you look at where those guys are today and where they are in the game, and, you know, Craig Berube's success as a coach, and you know, the other guys as managers, and you just say, you know what? The person got out of the team what he had to, and that's CJ's task. It's not to be liked, and it hasn't happened because I think part of it is the age of these guys, and you could say that. Part of them is their development curve, but they show signs, and they show flashes. You just want those flashes more. Consistency is a word that I would say has been missing.
What will... if this is a, this is my belief. I don't know whether you agree or not. I believe this is a big weekend for DJ Smith, just in terms of there needs to be results. Just doesn't need to be better play. There needs to be results this weekend. Do you believe it's going to take two wins, winning both the games this weekend? I think, and I don't remember if it was you or MJ we were talking about that going into this road trip. It was minimum four, if not 5 points. Well, they're at zero right now, so the max can be four. Do you believe it's two wins?
Boy, yeah. It may very well be, JR, and you know, and that's. But the problem is, these guys can't get ahead of themselves, and I think this team did get ahead of themselves a little bit over the summer in what it would be, and there was more talk about, you know, is this a playoff team? Can they compete? All those things instead. Let's worry about the first game. So if it's two wins, then it better start with one win, and this team cannot get ahead of themselves. They've proven that, and there was so much positive chatter, so much. You know, belief in the changes that were made. And when you look back at the changes, even, you know, 20 games in, you'd say, you know what, the changes have all been okay. I mean, they've all been for the positive, and yet the results haven't been. So it's going to take, give it one win and let it go from there. But results, I mean, results are absolute right now.
The discussion, I'll just jump in right now. Certainly we're having this discussion, didn't expect to, in Ottawa. Today's opponent, Anaheim. What, you know, I don't know that anybody suspects you're going to be at the bottom of the standings. Any NHL team to start the season. How surprised are you to find the Anaheim Ducks with Ottawa at the bottom of the NHL standings?
You know, I don't know enough about Pat Verbeek as a person, as a manager. I don't think anybody knows about him as a manager, right? He worked with Stevie Eisenman, obviously, but I don't know what the game plan is. I don't know if he wants a total strip down. I mean, if you think about it, that's what happened in Detroit, and he was a part of that whole piece. So I do know Dallas Eakins very well, and I know he's coaching to win every game. He's got a young group right now, and you know, I think we'll see as it plays out here who Pat Verbeek chooses to stay with and who he chooses to move as this moves on. I just don't think, you know, I don't know him as a person at all, and I don't know him as a manager at all. So it's tough to say. You know, my conversations with Dallas, I worked with Dallas very closely for a couple of years. I was his manager in Toronto, and we're pretty social at this point right now. We don't dig too deep on the business side.
So when you look at the Ducks, so a lot of who you want to move on from, a lot of that's kind of happened. Like Getzlaff retired, you've already moved on from Perry. You know, Josh Manson's now a Duck. Like things have happened here, Pulio, and I look at their lineup right now. They've got some good young pieces, like a lot of teams in their position do here. I think Pat Verbeek, if he wants, except I get Gibson would be the big one, right, in goal, like because there's a lot of term and a lot of money on that. But I think as a manager. And you're looking for that blank canvas, he's pretty darn close to that, isn't he? He can kind of go any way he wants.
He is, and I'm shopping. If I'm looking, I'm shopping hard with him. And, you know, and I wouldn't stop at the obvious UFAs that they have on defense. You know, I would be looking, if I were looking for a defenseman, I might be trying to pry Cam Fowler out of there. And I know he's got 3 years left on his contract, but he's 30 years old. And, you know, is 6.5 a workable number for someone that you might consider a top pairing guy? So that's a high priced item, obviously, but that's a piece that I think other than his youngs, you know, his McTavishes and Zegras and Drysdale, I would imagine that anyone is in play in Anaheim right now.
Yeah. You mentioned, had to mention Dmitry Kulikov, who is well-traveled. I think it's fair to say. He's on the Ducks defense. John Klingberg, of course, signed the 1-year deal He's got a little bit of control over where he could go because he's got, to believe, a limited no trade in the early part of the season. But you think that potentially they could go as deep as Cam Fowler? And again, he's a left shot defenseman, so
yeah, he'd be the prized piece for me if I'm looking at that roster. He's the one I would try and pry out of there. And if they're going to clean out, and you know, and they've got a 19-year-old McTavish and a 21-year-old Zegras and a 20-year-old, 19 or 20-year-old Jamie Drysdale, does 30 fit with that? And then you know, right on the heels of that, if he were doing that. They've got a couple of young goaltenders in their system that I know they like. And so I think that Gibson, he would be a prized asset as well. But that Lucas Dostal is a guy that I know they like, and they've got a couple of young kids that are even younger than him. So, you know, if you're shopping right now and it's November and it's Black Friday and you're looking, you know, to see what might be out there that other people aren't talking about. You know, they've talked about Gibson, but Fowler is the kind of player that I would generate a conversation on just because I've always really liked the player.
Last one from me, Dave, and I just want to get a thought from you. You came into the league, and Boris Salming was a part of the league, and you, for a number of years, well, you were contemporaries here. It was so emotional a couple of weeks ago. I mean, I think we're all puddles watching Daryl Sittler be a puddle next to Boris Salming in Toronto. I was surprised. I didn't realize how close it was. Your thoughts on the life and career of Boris Salming?
I don't think anybody realized how close it was, Steve. I really don't. And, you know, the people there certainly didn't. And I had a chance to meet Boris a number of times because I got close to Sittler when I played in Philadelphia at the start of, you know, of that. And so just watching it, for me, I may have chatted about this before. It was a transition. So he was one of my heroes growing up. Those mid-70s teams were my Leaf teams. Sittler, McDonald, Tiger Williams, Boris Salming. And Boris was such a rock. And I was at all six of the Canada Cup games played at Maple Leaf Gardens in 1976. My best friend and I were fortunate enough to get two gray seats when they went on sale. We went down and stood in line. So I was at the game when Sweden played Canada. And they announced Boris Salming, and he got started as an ovation and went to a long, loud standing ovation. And if you remember, there was a lot of outcry about that from Canadian fans. Like, wait a second, he plays for the other country. How can you cheer for him? And yet the person overruled that. Boris Salming, as a person and as a player, said that you're allowed to cheer for a guy from another country because it's Boris Salming. And it was a unique thing to be a part of, but it went from, for me, in that strange transition, when I watched that 2 weeks ago when I was, you know, down at some of the Hall of Fame ceremonies, it went from being your hero to being a peer back to being your hero again. And he was my hero the last, in the last time we saw him.
Well said. We'll leave it there. You've got the Habs and Hawks this afternoon from Chicago. That's a 2 o'clock face-off. Safe travels home, and we'll look forward to chatting with you again on Monday.
Thanks very much, guys. Enjoy the day.